I want to bring a greetings to all of those who are listening to this podcast. Today, we are endeavoring to get into the book of Daniel. We have had such a great time. Last week, we did the entire chapter 3, where we really did get into the Hebrew boys and the challenge of bowing or burn. And there was no bowing and there was no burning. So the analysis, some of them were what God ordains, he protects. And when you stand up for God, God will stand up for you. And so as they were standing and walking around in the fire, there was an angel there with them. And God protects. So we talked about it. At some point in your life, you're going to have to stand and know that I don't care if they breathing fire or shooting guns or waving knives or whatever. You got to stand up for it and understand that God has got your back. All right. So now we are moving into chapter 4 of Daniel. And before we get started, I have talked with a few of you all, and we have some Bible readers, and they have dug into this already, and there's some revelation knowledge here that we are going to see from Daniel chapter 4. So for you all who have not read Daniel chapter 4, there's some things that I want to just share up front. There's some good information. I don't think y'all gonna need the more chairs. We good. I think we good. Is that what it is? They setting them out in advance. All right. We have some guests, and we're glad to have them. And thank you, Marva. We're glad to have you here with us. Everybody else has at least been here once or twice. So we always like to recognize our first timers. So, did Daniel write all of chapter 4?
No.
In this section of Daniel? I heard a no.
I think it was contributing a lot of it to Jeremiah. Not sure at all.
The king Nebuchadnezzar wrote quite a bit of this, and Daniel put it in because as we go, he's telling a story of what has happened to himself, and how at the end of that he has come to recognize that there is one true and living God. All right, so let's dive on in here and dig into it. All right, Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all of the people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath brought toward me. Let's see what I have here. I have a commentary. Let me throw in here. When it says, I thought, another way to look at that is it was seemingly before me good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has brought toward me, which adds a little something to it. He said, I thought it good. It's a little bit more than that. I thought it very good. I wanted to show you something, right? Right. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. All right? Okay? When we get to verse 4, it's going to make a difference, all right? Okay. Verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. So now we see who's getting ready to tell the story, right?
Right.
I saw a dream. Daniel didn't see it. Who saw it?
He did. Nebuchadnezzar saw.
Now see, Daniel's putting it in, inserting in here so that we can see what is happening and has happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has had several life-changing experiences. The first one was he had a dream, and his dream could not be interpreted by all of those who he thought were great and good and his entourage, right? He had magicians, counselors, soothsayers. None of these people could interpret the dream. So Daniel interpreted the dream. That was number one. So he was shocked. He was shocked. And after that, what did he say? Okay, everybody going to go ahead and start worshiping who? The God of Daniel, right?
Right.
All right. So then here we come in again after he had made that statement. And then his soothsayers and people came and said, listen, you're giving a little too much. We giving a little bit too much credit.
We good. Oh, y'all good?
Yeah. Thank
you. You know, you giving a little bit too much credit to this God, and so he made up an image and said everybody's gonna bow to the image. Now we're in chapter 3, right?
Right.
So, and if you don't bow to the image, you're gonna burn.
Right.
Right? So that was chapter 3. So they didn't bow, they didn't burn. And he says, I look in here and I saw it looked like a fourth man's walking around in there with him. And it seemed like that's the Son of God. Now, he had no idea who the Son of God was, but that was a good thing to say because he had not seen such a brightness of one that was in there. So why not attribute that to Luke? But we already know who it was. All right. So we got that going. So now what we have here, he's going back through. After this second revelation of him, he's going back into what has happened. All right, he's had two times of God showing him who he was. Life-changing once. Right? So now here we are. He's at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace, and I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions upon my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. So he's backtracking a little bit. Then came the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But that's that little three-letter word again. At last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. He changed his name to Belteshazzar. Mm-hmm. If we're reading before, when they brought him from captivity, they changed their names into Chaldean names. They renamed him. All right. Whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret trouble of thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. Bear with me 1 minute. I got some little notes here. I'm trying. Okay. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were what?
Lovely. Beautiful.
What other verses you have?
Beautiful.
Lovely.
Beautiful. Lovely, beautiful. Anything else? All right, the leaves were lovely, beautiful, and the fruit thereof was what?
Abundant.
Okay, so it's got a lot of fruit on it. And in it was meat of all. Beasts of the field under the shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof or on the branches. and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off the branches, shake off the leaves, scatter the fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from all the branches. Anybody? You want me to read it all right? Rose.
Well, I just know that this time he's actually telling his dream.
Right.
So he really trusts Daniel, because before he wouldn't tell his dream. They had to tell him what he saw.
Okay.
So that was a difference with this one, you know. And I guess since he trusts Daniel's God, whereas there's no mysteries, he felt comfortable telling him his dream this time.
Okay. That's one. Anybody else?
I think one, Rose rang up a good point. But I think when you look at the king, when he talked to his magicians, sorcerers, etc., they lied to him, and he knew Daniel wouldn't lie to him. Daniel would tell him the truth regardless of the outcome, circumstances involved. Daniel was going to tell him the truth. So when Daniel came in, he shared the same dream with him as he had with the sorcerers, and he asked Daniel to interpret the dream for him as well. And he was not afraid of Daniel because he knew Daniel would talk to his God and the dream would be revealed to him. So having said that, the dream in and of itself, we talked about the leaves and the stump and all that good stuff there. But one of the things that I like about the king here versus chapter 3, he again is showing his arrogance. He again is showing his pridefulness.
Oh, it's gonna get there. You just jumped a little bit ahead.
What I'm alluding to is verse number 4, when he used the possessive pronoun "my." I'm looking at all what he claimed. He said, "I Nebuchadnezzar at rest in my house." In my house.
All right.
And the flourishing in my palace. And I just use my imagination. He's taking credit for all that that's there, the palace itself, but nothing is mentioned about the people who built the thing.
All right, I'm gonna piggyback on that in a minute.
I just want to say that God had already set Daniel apart for such a time as this.
Yes.
This was his moment. And this was already predestined and arranged by God, because when all of his people could not tell him what he wanted, there was Daniel. Mm-hmm. So he went and got Daniel because nobody could interpret that dream. But in that moment, it was like God planned it this way. Mm-hmm. Nobody can't tell you nothing. I got a man that's going to come to you. Mm-hmm. I got a man appointed, set aside. And all these people you getting, ain't gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to come back to me.
Right.
And that's what he had to come back to God's servant.
All right, now I want y'all to look at, I'll piggyback on what he said, to say this. This king was a king that God set up.
Amen.
God's been using Nebuchadnezzar the whole time. Mm-hmm. Now, even though he was using Nebuchadnezzar, he still had to make his identity known to Nebuchadnezzar. So, well, we got two things. Nebuchadnezzar thinking that he's really a god unto himself. So God's using him, but in the midst of all of that, God's getting ready to show him, even though you think you're God, I'm going to show you that you are not God. And I'm going to show you who really that I am. Now, that seems to be a bit contradictory, but we have to understand the whole picture of this. Why is Nebuchadnezzar in the picture anyway?
Because of their disobedience.
Because of their disobedience. The people had started to worship idols. They had got out of where God had them. God said, I'm your God. Don't worship no other gods before me. I'm going to take care of you. Look how many times God had done all these things for them, and yet they still wanted to worship something else. Right? So then God says, okay, I'm going to show y'all this is how it really is. So he brings in a Nebuchadnezzar who thinks he's a God. Right? He pulls out the good that he's thinking, I'm going to take the best of what these folks going to have. And as we get into Daniel a little bit more, he made an even bigger mistake by taking stuff from the temple and mixed it in with his stuff. So, I mean, even in his arrogance, he's just really all out of shape. All right. Verse 9, it says, O Belteshazzar, which is a name he gave him, he calls him what? The master of magicians.
Right.
He still don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
He still don't get it. So I want y'all to see what's going on here. God's using him, but at the same time, God's working on him at the same time. So you got two things going on. God's showing him who he is, and also God's showing everybody that's around Nebuchadnezzar who's the truth. These magicians and everybody, they know who buttering their bread, but they really don't know who buttering their bread, if I can say that. You know, God is saying you may be under somebody who's doing something for you, but I'm still the one to make everything work. Y'all looking at me. The people on your job are not your God. God has given you that job to supply some money to you, but they are not your God.
That's right.
You see what I mean? I want y'all to get an understanding. Just because God uses somebody, you never never put them ahead of the one and true God.
Amen.
All right. So I want y'all to see there's a lot in this, but when you get in there, I want you to put everything into play because it's going to really get good here.
Bear in mind that, as I said once before, God used Nebuchadnezzar to spank his people to bring them back to him.
Right.
But Babylon, the king himself, they also would be punished. As well.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. The wages of sin still is death. So let us not preclude that.
But the irony of it all is, even in them turning away from God and going toward what they think they want, God just gave them over to their own, you know, their wickedness. Yeah, right. Okay, you want this? I got somebody who's coming in who's really wicked, and they gonna show you the kind of life that you're already living. But when they get into that, they found out they didn't want that. You know, even though they were doing it, he gave somebody more wicked than they were.
All right. Yep. Let's jump on into it. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots. We're talking about that big tree. Leave the stump of the roots of that big tree in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. All right. Y'all still there?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody know what this is we talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the dream.
Yeah.
All right? Okay. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and a demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the who? Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will, and setteth up over it the beast of men. Now we're getting ready to get good. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. For the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Mm.
Sir?
You ready? You want me going on in there?
I can say something, but I'll let you continue.
Yeah. Okay. I want you to have a shot at it. Now, go ahead. You sure you don't want to say something?
Well, I just say this right here. It's like Betty was saying, Daniel was put in there for a purpose. And his purpose was to make known to Nebuchadnezzar, he ain't all that.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't all that. Mm-hmm. And it sounds kind of familiar. Yeah. Contemporarily.
Right.
I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah. We're recording this time, so yeah.
Right. Because as Bobby was saying, my, I,
mm-hmm.
and mine, and all right. of that, those are some familiar words. Like I said, I don't want to touch that. But God will show you.
Amen.
That you're not all that you think you are.
That's right.
And he said in Romans, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he's showing Nebuchadnezzar that you think you all is, I will demonstrate to you that I'm in charge. You think you're in charge, but I'm really the one that's in charge.
All right. I will throw one more nugget out. All right. Nebuchadnezzar's already had one dream, right?
Right.
And after that one dream, he made this proclamation that everybody, you know, should worship the God of Daniel, right?
Right.
But right after that, what did he do? He builds an idol, mm-hmm. and then he says, all right, now when I ring the bell, everybody going to have to bow down and worship this idol that he made. So now he's already been shown one thing. He says one thing, but he turned from that. And go back to where he was.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So now he's got another dream.
Mm-hmm.
So here God dealing with him the second time. He said, mm-hmm. now I thought you would have learned the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a dream, another one. And so now let's see how you're going to act with this one. Now Daniel broke down to him the first one. And the first one told him there's going to be some more people coming after you. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of bothered him because he thought he was going to be the big dog forever.
Right.
Can I make a comment about that?
Come on.
I noticed this when I was studying chapter 3 that Nebuchadnezzar made the image, but he didn't make the image the way that Daniel told him the image was.
Exactly.
Daniel told him the head of the image mm-hmm. was going to be made out of gold,
right.
and then there were other metals.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all talk about that?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Silver, bronze.
Nebuchadnezzar right. just made the whole thing gold.
Right.
Because he wasn't interested in no other kingdom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I missed that. Excuse me for saying all that.
Yeah, but that's all right. I want everybody to understand what we got. So
you missed that day. When we discuss that, that's all. another point. When we look at verse 15, say, nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth. One of the commentaries I was reading brought out a very, very interesting point about this is judgment and also restoration for the king in himself. And you flip over and peep at verse number 26, you can see that what God is doing. After the seven times you mentioned a few minutes ago, when the king is out of whack for 7 years, his kingdom still will be restored to him when he come back. So the point would be about the tree, the stump, and the roots. The tree is cut down, but the roots and everything still would grow.
Right.
Right.
So his kingdom, once he come out of hibernation, so to speak,
we're going to get to that.
It's still there.
Yeah, we're going to get to mm-hmm. that. All right.
Yeah.
So that's one of the good aspects about the root and the tree stump itself.
But here we see also an example of God's grace. Even
yes.
though he's Another bringing point. He's letting him get high as he possibly can, then bringing him down. But there's still an opportunity. And once you humble and submit yourself, God's grace is sufficient. He will restore you. Restoration.
19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. That word astonished there means that he pondered over it for 1 hour. His thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my God, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it, he's just going over the whole, going back over the whole dream again. Meet up under the beast and the branches of the fowl and all that. It is thou, O king, that are grown and become much strong. Here you go. It's you, bud. It's you, bud. You know, you are grown and become much strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches up to the heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it. Let the leaf, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord, the king. Not only did I give it to you, but it's getting ready to come on you. Huh? You wanted it? Here it is. It's you. But a word is coming from heaven saying what? Cut it down.
Okay, what does till 7 times pass over him mean?
7 years.
Oh, 7 years.
Yeah, he's going to have a situation that we're going to see here in a minute. That he's going to have to go through for 7 years. This is part of the revelation of the dream.
It is too funny to me.
Oh, yeah.
Too funny.
This is the interpretation. All right? Mm-hmm. 25. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as ox, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know what? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whoever he will, or wishes, or desires to be.
That's right.
And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the root of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be true unto thee, after that thou shalt make known that the heavens do rule. So what's he telling them? You're going to be in trouble, but you can get everything back after you make the right decision.
He's going to be humble, but not destroyed.
That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. How can you put this in you? How can you put this in your situation? How can you put this in some examples that you have seen?
I can compare it to us as a nation of people.
Ah.
Sometimes we ask certain things and we get it. And all of a sudden what we get is not what we thought we really wanted. And all of a sudden we look around and say, well, are we being punished for something? What's going on? So when we look at the situation that we are in as a nation of people that have left God, so to speak, God is still giving us a chance. Hey, come back to me, bud. And sooner or later, we're going to come crawling back to God. We'll do it.
Okay.
Should.
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 All right.
I'll drink to that. That's we're gonna do it.
I'll drink to
that's
that.
That's right.
All right. So while we're talking, let's use. Are there any other examples? Because used us. Are there any other examples that you can use?
They took prayer out of schools.
Ah, but that's still us.
That's still us.
We acquiesced the authority that we had to have God to lead us before we started out our school day. But now that we don't, look what we have in our schools because we don't seek his face before the beginning of service. Anybody else?
I would say self-centeredness and pride.
We still talking about us.
Yeah, I'm talking about us.
Okay, but now the question was, give us some examples of other things that show this same example of how pride can rise and then you be taken down, but yet you give another.
I wasn't finished. I would say it's self-centeredness and pride because we've become selfish to the things of the world, like stuff, you know, getting all this stuff. We're buying into it. We're getting all in debt. So we owe our souls to the world. So we cannot be free to serve God because we are busy like parents. You know, they got to have all of this for the kids. So they're working late at night and they're not with their families. So families, kids are coming home, latchkey kids. There's nobody home to teach them, nobody home to sit at the table. So you can see all of that coming forth, you know. So kids are teaching themselves. Well, they're really not talking to parents. So I would say that's one example, too.
I was thinking more of a personal line as far as, you know, when you be going through something and you think God has forsaken you and because you don't see a change, and then in the end, he allowed you to go through whatever the situation is to for somebody else, you know, testimony to somebody else, and also to build you up, you know, and put you in a different place in him.
Okay.
Trust in him. That was looking at a more personal
general. From a personal perspective, one of the things that James bring out, talk the book of James, God resists the proud, mm-hmm. you know, but he gives grace to the humble, as he would say. Our pride for nature can and will destroy us as a people.
Right.
That's individually true. And corporately, it will destroy us as a people.
Right.
So if we don't humble ourselves before a holy, I think Daniel used the great God or something of that sort there. If we don't learn to humble ourselves before a Jehovah God, we are destined for failure and all that comes with it. So we need to learn that as a people as a nation.
Marvin, you got something to add?
No, basically I was thinking along the line of what Ms. Francis was talking about, personal. But it also, I think about like civilizations, whole civilizations, mm-hmm. like the Roman Empire.
Ah.
You know how they were exalted, you know, and everything, and how they just went into debauchery, mm-hmm. and they were pretty much destroyed. The whole civilizations were destroyed, and even the people of the Jews when they left
that's
Egypt.
What I'm talking
you know
about.
How God told that's them, you know, if you obey me and observe to do my commandments, but they just kept going back mm-hmm. in sin. And so they never really conquered the land that they were supposed to conquer. And so
that's
God, you see, in his mercy and compassion, he did not just utterly cast them off. You know, he would always go back and try to deal with them, you know, and get them where they should be. So but they were not utterly destroyed because he made that promise to Abraham.
Right.
He made that promise to them.
Good. That's what I was looking for.
But also, we as a race, you know, coming up from slavery, have we developed idols? Because do we put work, accomplishment, degrees,
we do.
Money,
that's what I was
cars,
getting at.
Housing,
yeah.
before we put, you know, our God?
Right.
You know, we're just a rainy day, and we're not coming to worship.
That's right.
Mm.
You know?
Y'all getting there.
Plus, we haven't taught our kids the history of our Lord Jesus Christ. These kids don't know him, you know, and they're not learning of him. So we are not doing a good job in passing it on. We got to pass it on.
This is similar to something Marva was saying But if you follow history, and these four kingdoms that Daniel was talking about, all of those kingdoms came down. Because
yeah.
God was showing he's the ruler of the universe, not humanity. So each time, and they were some great kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
but God allowed them to have a season, but all of them were destroyed, including, like Molly was saying, the Roman Empire,
right?
Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at all the dictators yeah. who thought
That's
they
true.
Were going to rule the world, and all of them were destroyed.
Mm. Some African nations.
All of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want y'all to take a look at this to look at this to understand and pull out that if God has said that he's going to do something and you get out of order, then you may fall. But if he's given you a word, if he's given you a vision, if he's given you a dream, he's still going to uphold what he mm-hmm. said.
Right.
And so in the midst of you falling down,
mm-hmm.
then you still will have the opportunity to get back to a point and fulfill that dream. All right. When you look at the scripture that it says all things work together for the good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might not think falling down is working together for the good. Right.
Right.
But in the midst of that, you gain strength from the experience that you have and understanding that God is the one that's able to keep you from falling.
Right.
You know, it's God that gives you the strength to endure through all. If there's no resistance, you don't get any buildup.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, if you want your muscles to grow, you got to have some resistance. You got to put some pressure on it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for God to get us to a certain point, sometime we're going to have to face some resistance. But I'm just saying that to say God had a plan in the midst of all of this, and this Nebuchadnezzar has got to go through. He missed the first one. Remember?
Yeah.
Now this is a sidebar. But the lesson not learned will be repeated.
Okay.
Right? So he didn't get the first lesson, because right after we thought he passed, he go and build an idol, and he turns around and gets an F. Right? So
right.
Now he gets another test. So here comes another dream. And not only with this test, he going to get a punishment for this one.
Mm,
right? That's these seven times, and we're getting ready to talk about it.
Okay.
All right? Known as the king. Wherefore, we're 27. Wherefore, O king, let thy counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy signs of righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy, what do y'all have? I got tranquility, prosperity,
mm-hmm.
right? So is he giving them an option?
Yeah, sure.
He's giving them a chance, right?
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
We can pass.
Uh-huh.
Also, I see it also, I just wrote it in my Bible. When he said, therefore, King, let my advice, I wrote on my note here, he's also giving him a warning.
Right.
In the same aspect.
Right. He said, in my opinion, and what I'm thinking about, you can lengthen your peace if you go ahead on and start showing some mercy. So here's God is giving him an avenue, right? All right. And all this came upon the king. So now he's interpreted the dream. He's been offered some mercy. And now all of a sudden it's decision time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
It sounds pretty rough to me. I don't know about y'all. It came upon him. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon? That I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of whose power?
My power.
Uh-huh. For my power and for the honor of my majesty.
Pride.
Those words again, Bobby.
Pride.
Here we go.
And the other word in there was great Babylon.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as ox. Seven times or 7 years shall pass over thee until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and give it to whosoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, that he was driven from men and did eat grass, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws.
Wow.
Now go back to the, if you go back to the dream and go back to what we got, he was given an opportunity to do right. His pride came out his mouth. And that voice that came from heaven from the dream, remember, they said the voice came down and said, cut down the tree. So everything is falling right in the thing. So now, for you all, for those that are listening to this podcast, when God speaks to you, you're going to have a choice. What will be the next words that come out of your mouth after God brings you revelation knowledge?
But look how patient God is. 12 months came between the time he got the interpretation until it happened.
Until it happened.
12 months.
So Nebuchadnezzar was thinking wasn't nothing going to happen.
Ooh.
12 months.
That's what the world thinks.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I want to inject this. This is going to be controversial. I'm telling you up front.
Well, we got 5 minutes, so we'll work it out.
He had given him the dream.
Uh-huh.
Then he gave him a second dream.
Right.
Now the dream is also prophetic. Right?
Right.
Both times.
Right. So the dream is going to come to pass.
Right.
Right.
So without Nebuchadnezzar realizing it, this is what God is going to do, because God is sovereign and God knows that Nebuchadnezzar ain't going to change.
Yeah.
He knows that. So this is going to happen. This is going to happen.
That's right.
So why is that controversial?
I was about to say, why is that controversial?
Why is that controversial?
Because you're saying he had a chance to change.
He did.
Well, he did.
Mm-hmm. But the prophecy said he, in essence, the prophecy is saying he's not going to change.
No, that's not what the prophecy said. No, the prophecy said, Bobby.
Go ahead.
The prophecy said, this is the interpretation of the dream.
Right.
A word is going to come down, right?
Right.
And said, cut the tree down. Nowhere in the prophecy was there an opportunity for him to repent at all. That's what God did. God gave Daniel in his counsel an opinion to him. That was going to happen anyway, because that's what God said. God gave him an opportunity, but what he said was come true. You trying to say like it was. You're saying it didn't make no difference if he would have or not. But what it was the dream had to be fulfilled.
Now what I'm saying is, God knew Nebuchadnezzar was not going to change. He knew he wasn't going to change, even though he knows what you're going to do. But he's giving you the opportunity to find out what you're going to do.
Now, I agree with that explanation as to what you just said, with the exception that he had 12 months to repent.
He did.
To change.
He did.
And as you said, and I agree with you, God knew that he was not going to, because the interpretation of the dream that Daniel gave the king. And when you look at verse number 19, when it said Daniel was astonished, that does not mean that Daniel didn't know what the dream was, the interpretation of it. He saw what was going to happen, and he was saying, oh, king, you know, I don't want this to come upon you, because they were friends, King and Daniel. So I will prefer this to happen to your enemies, not to you. But the king was adamant. He said, Daniel, Belteshazzar, I know you tell me the truth. You, regardless of what it is, you're going to tell me the truth. So when he sees the word that we use, my Bible says, fine, I think you had something else. For a time, it troubled Daniel because he didn't want to all this to come upon the king. God had already said that this is going to happen. As I would say sometime, when we look at the past, present, and the future in prophecy, everything is present in God. There's no past and there's no future. It is as it is when God look at prophecy, because they look at it as it's happening today.
Absolutely. Let me just say this. God is gracious and God is long-suffering and God is plenteous in mercy. All right? So his mercy was there to be given. God already has a standard out here.
Right.
Whose choice is it to take the mercy and the grace?
Ours.
It's ours. But that's not going to stop the standard that's already been set. You see what I mean?
Right.
When he said that vision out there, he had all sorts of other ways that things could have happened. Right. But it wasn't going to happen because man's pride at that point needed to be dealt with. Right.
Right.
But he still had an option. Yeah, God knew he wasn't going to take it, but that didn't mean he wasn't going to give him an option as well. See, that's the sovereignty of God.
That's the point I was trying to make about the sovereignty.
Right. Yeah, it was the sovereignty of God, but there was still an opportunity. You know, and in the midst of all of us at any time in our life, we have an opportunity. That's what I want us to see. Even in the midst of all of that that's go down, you have an opportunity, but you choose. You choose.
And I looked at it also as him making a choice that you're either going to go about this the easier way or you're going to do it the hard way.
Right.
And I just feel like, you know, because in verse 27 in the Message it says, "So King, take my advice. Make a clean break with your sins and start living for others. Quit your wicked life and look after the needs of the down and out. Right. Then you will continue to have a good life." So to me, he had the opportunity to make a change. Of course, he was too stuck on himself, and he didn't make the change.
Right.
But eventually, even after he went through everything, he realized, you know what, I ain't all that. So I feel like we have an option that's brought before us. The Lord will give us a warning. We can either decide to go ahead and let's get it done now, or we can go about it the hard way.
Right. Now, let me throw another bone out here. I got to throw another one out here. All right. In the judgment, all right, when people are being judged, there will not be any accusation that man can say, "You didn't give me a chance."
Right.
Right.
So I concur with him. Yeah. The dream was going to come to pass. Yeah. God is sovereign. But on the flip side of that, Nebuchadnezzar could never say, "You didn't give me an option."
Right. Yeah, you still have the option.
Right, but I'm just saying that's God takes away every excuse that you can say to him that you wasn't all of that. You were God. Satan said, you can do all this other stuff. He said, "Yeah, that's well true, but there's still a way out. You didn't take it, so it's on you." So I'm just saying you can't throw stuff back in God's face and think you can get away with it. You see what I'm talking about? You can't say, well, you could at least gave me one more chance. You know, I mean, however many ways you want to say it, you cannot say that God is not faithful, he's not long suffering, he's not, and even all the way down here, did not your friend, and did you not have 12 months that you could have made a choice? So even at the end of everything in our life, we can't say that God did not give us an opportunity or we did not have a chance.
Right.
Wow. Even though he is
sorry. Back to what Claudette was saying, and this is what messes the world up. When I say the world, I'm talking about unbelievers.
Okay.
When they don't see something happen immediately, they don't believe it's going to happen. When God is saying he's going to rain down fury on the earth, the wrath of God, in the end, I'm talking about the total end. They say, oh, y'all just believe all these fairy tales.
Right.
Because it ain't happening immediately. The world operates on the immediate.
Microwave.
But God operates on his time. And in his time, like we've been saying, mm-hmm. there's always mercy in his time.
Sure. Right. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, too, I saw two nuggets. One is that God was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, but he was also dealing with us, too, mm-hmm. showing the people. He said, the same standard that I have for him, I have for you. I'm mm-hmm. going to give him grace and mercy 12 months. I'm going to give you that same opportunity.
Right.
So mm-hmm. the other thing is change. Even though we buck against the change that God has us to go through, it's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. Whether you buck against it, you agree with it. Like Lisa said, you can agree with it and you cannot. But either way, it's coming.
I got a couple more verses. I think we can finish this and close out four. At the end of the day, who's telling most of this story here, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I did what?
I praised the Most High.
Look, with my long hair and with my long fingernails, I got the revelation that there is a supreme being, right?
Right.
Yeah. I bless the Most High. I praise and honor him that liveth forever, mm-hmm. whose dominion is a what? Everlasting, eternal dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. We say everlasting to everlasting. All
right.
And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He said, hey, these folk don't mean nothing to me. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Who gonna question God after this?
Amen.
He sure not. Huh?
He's convicted now.
Now, do y'all think after he passed his second
test? He's convicted.
Did he pass the second test? Let's read on. And all the inhabitants of the earth. Let's see, I got that part. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and the brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, what? And my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. So they put him back. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the kingdom of heaven, and all the works are true, and his ways
are just,
mm-hmm. and those that walk in pride, he is able.
That's Bobby Bird.
You will be abased.
You will be abased. Two things.
You will be abased.
Between verse number 33 and 34, I believe, I just opened my Bible up. Did you notice the 7 year passed almost immediately? It jumped from 33 to 34. This guy is then got his feathers and acting like he's an animal. Mm-hmm. And then 34, he regained his senses, so to speak. And also when he regained his kingdom back, you would notice that his kingdom was not cannibalized by any other foreign entity.
Right, nobody came in 7 years mm-hmm. and took him over right or anything.
And the people, his servants, they were still intact. Mm-hmm. You know, the restoration of his kingdom was worked by God.
So somebody else was ruling while he was in the desert.
Oh, well, he had people already. Daniel was running everything.
Yeah.
Daniel ran three kingdoms.
Oh, okay.
You know, after he was gone, he ran other ones. Daniel was a bad man.
And see, they promoted Daniel when he told him the dream. Daniel said, "You don't need to give me the money or the promotion," but he did it anyway. Yeah. See, God was setting the stage for Daniel to come in.
Right.
You know.
Let me pick on my young mm-hmm. elder. My
he
young
set
elder.
That stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you can. I got an old elder and a young elder. Now,
would that say over and over again?
and I say this,
my wife would tell you,
patience is my weakest weakness.
Okay.
And I would agree.
Okay.
I have not arrived like you all. I'm still growing. Now, don't go home and pray for patience. Let God and me work this out. don't you do that, okay? And she will tell you that I'm constantly growing in patience. She'll tell you that.
Okay.
But my weakest weakness is patience. Okay?
Patience.
It's patience. Now, several years ago, my young elder, not my old, my young elder and I made a statement that if you bother my wife and my children, my mother and my father, you'll see a different side of me. My young elder agreed. You mess with my wife. You think Bobby is all of this in a bag of chips. Mess with my wife and my children. My young elder said, well, that's in all of us. I said, well, I don't know about all of us. I can speak for me. I can't speak for him. He said, yeah. Look at him, get the little smirky grin on his face over there. So see how God works with all of us
right.
in our growth pattern.
Right.
Yeah.
Individual.
And I would hope that would never come to pass.
Yes.
You know, so that won't come to fruition.
Yeah, we don't need to test that.
Ooh.
We don't need to see that.
Ooh. You don't want to
see that. We do not need to see that.
All right. Now, what I want you to do, what I want you to do is to think about a lot of things that we have said. Some of the main things is pride, right?
Right.
The other part is faith. If God has spoken something to you, just because you don't see it come to pass right now, don't mean it's not going to come to pass. Okay. And if you're going through something right now, does not mean that God is done with you yet.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So there's some things that you I want all of us to draw from it. If you miss it one time, don't mean that God's not going to give you a chance to make it good. All right. Because some people feel like, well, you know, I didn't do what God told me to do, or this is not working out. I don't know what's going to happen now. God's got a plan for you. So I just want us to understand that God's not done with anybody yet. The race is not over until you're dead. When you're in the ground, you can't do nothing. You can't repent. It's a wrap. So I just want us to understand that God is plenteous in mercy and gracious. And if it seems like you don't have it together, God gonna help you get it together. It's not done. It's not over. This just could be in that 7-year period or whatever thing that you're going through. That's just a process to get you ready for what God is getting ready to do.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So I just want us to look at it from another thought.
And one comment I would make is pride and arrogance will get you in trouble every time.
Oh, you sure will.
And the Lord wants us to humble ourselves because he doesn't want to have to do it.
Right.
If he has to do it, it's going to be very painful.
Yes.
So we need to realize, like Nebuchadnezzar had to realize, or Bobby said, I ain't all that in the bag of chips. We need to realize that so that we can humble ourselves and accept a different way of doing things.
Right.
We can't just say, it's my way or no way. It's no way, because it ain't going to always be your way.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true. Most of the time.
All right.
And can I say one thing? Is that the Lord, what I got is the Lord is trying to establish us. Mm. And as long as we are walking in pride or we're not humble, we're double-minded, we're wavering, and the Lord cannot establish us like he wants to. So the Lord is trying to establish us in him.
Right.
So that's what I got. So thank you.
All right.
And then the other thing is, we have to stop chasing people and chase God. Look to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not look to people, because people, like my husband say, that's not God. It's only one God.
Mm-hmm.
Only one God.
All right.
So basically, we keep our focus on God and not our circumstances.
Right. Or people involved.
Right.
We got to know that there is a God above all.
Right.
Because some people are stopped by people. People are in their way.
Yeah.
Either their affection for the people or what the people are doing toward them,
right,
around them,
it's,
you know, and they're
right,
not seeing that there is a God above.
That's
all
true.
Of that. So this four has got a lot in it. It's got a lot in it. We see the And I just look at it from the test part, because that's always when there's a situation you're going through, you got to seek God to get the answers to the test. You can't assume in your own mind, I know how this gonna work out. You need to let God show you how it's gonna work out, and use you as you go through to get it worked out. Because if you don't, another test is coming, and you might not like how this. It's not the same test. Let me just say that it's not the same test. It's a different test with different results. Okay.
And a lot of times when God shows you something, you go out and tell somebody and they like, mm-mm. You know, they put, like chasing people, they put a damper on what God has told you. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to keep it and pray about it, because it's like you can't receive it yourself at first. It's so far-fetched from what you would do. You just have to pray and ask God to give you the strength and the courage to carry out his will.
True.
That wasn't in verse in chapter 4, but that's a good words of wisdom.
Amen.
I'll just put it in another term. Keep some cards close to your test. God will tell you what to tell folks, and then God will tell you what to hold. Some that's things right. You got to pray and hold till God tell you to tell.
That's right.
All right. All hearts and minds are clear. Father, we just thank you for a good time in your word. We thank you for revelation knowledge, Lord, as you continue to make this Old Testament come alive in today's terms. And we know that you have a right now word for us. We thank you for it. The enemy will not come and pluck any of it out. Your word has gone forth. It's going to germinate. It's going to bring forth good fruit in our lives. Not only in our lives, but we'll be able to have good advice and opinions for others. And we'll be able to direct them to Daniel so that they can get revelation from it. Now, as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that you encamp your angels round about us to protect us as we go to our next destination. And we are careful to give you alone all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody shouted amen.
Amen. Amen.